As I mentioned a few minutes ago, theater season is going to really heat up. We have a few ongoing plays that were right out of the chute, but here is the Civic's big opener, which is this weekend, begins actually Thursday night, tomorrow night, and it is Mary Poppins. Troy Nickerson, who's directing it. That's a tradition about as old as the Civic Theater, isn't it? The big deal opener.
The big deal opener has been, you know, they usually do their big gala nights. Yeah, it's Friday night, actually. It's the actual opening. Yeah.
It's kind of a
tradition to open with a big, you know, a big production and a big celebration.
Yeah. That's right.
72nd year. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, in recent years, it's been a musical. Has that been quite a long
time? It's usually always a musical. Yeah. It usually opens with a musical and closes with a musical. Yeah.
And before we get into the essence of that, just how does that work kind of as people are coming off summer vacations and then you're having to pull everybody together into the discipline of doing a thing? Is it tricky or is it kind of good because you can catch some rehearsing before school starts?
It was actually trickier than I thought. It's been a while since I've directed an opening musical, and there's a lot of vacations happening. And that was one of the biggest, you know, things we had to overcome was conflicts of actors and stuff missing during the process. So it was actually more difficult than I thought getting everybody together. You know, everybody had things to do. Our lives are so much busier than they were even when I was directing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's been a challenge.
Okay, but here you go. You got it. You got an opening 2 days
hence. We got them all together in one room.
Good. And I need to reiterate, the opening is Friday night. So I misspoke on the gala opening. I should have known that. Mary Poppins. What's your lifetime history with Mary Poppins? Do you have any?
I don't have a huge history with Mary Poppins. I have memories of the movie that I saw as a kid. I remember Dick Van Dyke is what stuck out in my mind the most, just because I was drawn to that old school type of almost vaudeville kind of style that he had in the movie, and certainly all the magic that happened in the show. But it was never really a part of my life at all. I have never even seen the stage production before, so this was a whole new journey for me.
Yeah, and then the basic premise. I mean, you have to have tension in a story, and so talk about Dick Van Dyke's character, or appropriately enough, Patrick McHenry Crutch's character we're about to meet.
Well, one of the reasons I think I have the family here today is I think so often this show is, you know, it's Mary Poppins and Bert, but the real story is about the Banks family, and the Banks family needs saving. You know, Dad's working all the time. You know, there's just a lot of issues in the family, and the kids are unhappy, and their parents aren't around. And so Mary's, you know, Mary's job is to come in and save Dad and bring magic into this family. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary comes in. I think that's her thing. She like saves families, and then she has to move on to the next family that needs her help. So there's conflict in just how well she's accepted, especially by Mr. Banks, because he is definitely rigid and in one way. Everything needs to be perfect and order the way he wants it because of the way he grew up. And Mary kind of throws a wrench into his life.
Mr. Banks, played by Patrick McHenry Crutch. And we'll briefly hear from Mrs. Banks now, and then we'll hear from her more later, Alyssa Day, who opens this song here with a little bit of dialogue or a little bit of recitative, we'd call it in opera, to get it going. And I think this song title and the character of Mr. Banks probably pretty well all work together. So here we have precision and order.
Precision and order, that's all that I ask. The running of a household, a straightforward task. The children, the servants, they're all your domain. whilst I remain the sovereign of Cherry Tree Lane. Coach!
Of course, George, but...
The simple truth is you've engaged 6 nannies in the last 4 months and they've all been unqualified disasters. A nanny should govern. A nanny should rule. A nanny's a paragon who suffers no fool. A nanny's a stalwart. Our children would gain by having such a nanny on Cherry Tree Lane. So take control of situations. Show your authority when interviewing staff. You know your role. They know their stations. Efficiency and forethought cut the job in half.
In the role of Mr. Banks, we were just hearing Patrick Henry Crutch and Mrs. Banks as Alyssa Day. And we'll ask them to kind of defend themselves and stick up for themselves. But certainly they're the couple in this situation.
Yeah, right? The mom and dad.
Yeah.
Mom and dad.
And so here come mom and dad in. Are we getting Alyssa too? And
we'll get her.
Yes, and so staying in character, we'll get her to defend herself a little bit. But Patrick, let's bring you in. As Mr. Banks, you've already proven that you're mighty uptight.
Very, very uptight.
And so at the beginning, are you simply kind of an archetype of the uptight old dad, or do we have any sympathy at all with you?
I mean, I think at the very beginning, yes. Definitely that uptight dad. But it's pretty soon you start to see some chinks in the armor.
Yeah.
Some memories coming back that give him a little more sympathetic.
Yeah. And then Alyssa, in the role of Mrs. Banks, you obviously, the show is called Mary Poppins, so she's one of the operative people. But talk about how you're doing at the beginning when things are trying to get going.
I think Winifred is just really frustrated. She doesn't have the life and the family life that she expected, and I think she wants to be more involved, but she also really wants to please Mr. Banks, and those two things don't really mesh very well.
Especially in that period of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so different for women.
Well, sure, yeah, the Victorian thing,
yeah.
And I guess, let's see, the movie came out, what, in the 50s, probably?
40s.
Oh, in the 40s.
Wasn't it 40?
I thought it was the 60s.
Oh, maybe, no, 64.
Yeah.
64. 40 would be ridiculous. 64.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So the civilization was changing slightly in 64.
Yeah.
When it came out, but how does it play out now of hearkening back to that time? Does that, and this is for any of you, does that time, that particular Victorian time, seem just like a caricature away, or does it ring true in any part of our world?
I think as a woman, it does ring true. I mean, as growing up, you know, you're taught that, you know, get married and you know, the man is the head of the household and mm-hmm. such, and it's not as prevalent now or as, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it does kind of hearken to that, and Winifred gets her comeuppance, though. She stands up for herself.
Yeah.
And everybody,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
yeah.
is.
She
up, yeah, and she it's great.
Being,
I love
yeah.
it.
And I think that part of this, that, you know, that all important part of the story of kind of forgetting what's important mm-hmm. is just as.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Right.
Just
important
as
now.
Much now mm-hmm. as it was then.
And so now what about child? What about raising a child in that era of governesses and nannies and people like that? I guess I'll lead with you, Mrs. Banks. What is the mother's role when you have a nanny?
To do
charity work and entertain.
Yes, do charity work and entertain yeah. so that you have time to do those things and not have to take care of the children. But
bother with the children.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Winifred really wants to bother with the children, mm-hmm. and she's not really being allowed to.
Yeah. Okay, so, hence the need for a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're about to hear from the children, and we don't want to give away what the children are going to reveal, but. But what is the condition of the children here at the beginning? How are they doing?
I think they've had a numerous nannies in and out the door that they have not liked, so they continually do things to get rid of their nannies. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think they're sad. I think they miss their parents, you know. Mm-hmm. But of course, as kids, it comes out in other ways. It comes out in brattiness and tantrums and you know, to show it. And in this next song, they actually finally kind of say what they really want.
Okay, well, let's go to let's go back to the studio. By the way, Patrick McHenry Crutch, the music director at Civic, is at the piano, and we're about to hear from the two children, Jane Banks and Michael Banks, Mia Kubicek as Jane Banks and Eli Wissing as Michael Banks, and I think the title says a lot of it, but let's hear them express it, the song which is called The Perfect Nanny.
Cheery disposition, rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the part I fit in.
Play games, all sorts. You must be kind, you must be witty, very sweet and fairly pretty. Take us on outings, give us treats,
sing songs. Bring sweets, never be cross or cruel, never feed us castor royal or cruel.
Love us as a son and daughter,
and never smell the barley water. I put that bit in too.
If you won't scold and dominate us, we will never give you cause to hate us. We won't hide your spectacles so you can't see
the toes in your bed or pepper in your tea.
Hurry, Nanny, many thanks, sincerely, Jane
and Michael
Banks.
From our studio, we were hearing Eli Wissing as Michael and Mia Kubicek as Jane Banks singing that song, The Perfect Nanny. Troy, is that kind of in the form of a letter that they're writing?
Yes, they write a letter. They write an advertisement that they want their parents to put up, to put in the paper for them. And Dad ends up ripping up the paper and throwing it into the fireplace, which, of course, the winds then sends to Mary Poppins so that she receives it to make sure she gets to the right house.
Yeah, there we go. And so then we have, but that wonderful manipulation that only a couple of kids can
right,
do.
Right.
Yeah, well, let's meet them. First, let's say hello to Misa Kubicek. Hi, Misa.
Hi.
Mia. Okay, and correct me if I say anything wrong. Mia Kubicek. Where do you go? What grade are you in?
I'm in seventh grade.
And where are you going to school?
Southside Christian.
Okay. And do you do anything other than just go to school there? Are you in any activities or anything like that?
I'm in a choir and, yeah.
Yeah. And then you're also here as Jane Banks, so you're doing drama. Have you done drama in town before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what are a few things you've done and where?
I've been in a couple shows at my school, and then I've been in one show at CYT and a show at Ferris High School.
Oh, good. Okay. Do you have fun doing theater?
Mm-hmm.
You like it or do you love it?
I love it.
Okay. And let's meet Eli Wissing, come up. Go ahead and stand up there. We don't want you to get too comfortable. Let's get you just right. Okay. Good morning, Eli. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay. Are you in school yet?
No.
No. When does school start for you?
The 25th.
The 25th. That's pretty late. Where are you going to school?
Classical Christian.
Okay. And what grade are you going to be in?
Third.
Third grade. Okay. Have you ever done a play before?
Christmas Story. Last year at Civic.
Good. And what was that like when you did the Christmas Story at Civic? Was it?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was it kind of scary or weird, or was it just
no,
simply a good time?
It was a lot
time?
Of fun.
Okay. But there you were probably just one of many people. What's it like kind of having to be, to really be somebody in a play? Is that different?
Yes.
Yeah. What's it been like to learn to talk like Michael Banks? Has that been something you've had to practice all summer?
Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the same thing for you, Mia, this English accent. Have you been talking to your family in an English accent for many weeks?
Yep.
So that do you sometimes kind of forget yourself and talk to your friends at school that way too?
Sometimes.
Do they put up with it?
Yeah.
They know that you're in a play?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So with each of you, I want you to kind of say something about how you as a person, is like or not like your character. So Mia, what kind of girl is Jane Banks?
She's mischievous, and she's sometimes naughty and bratty. To her nannies.
Oh, naughty, bratty, mischievous. And nobody's listening to this, so you can tell me the truth. Are you ever naughty, mischievous, or bratty?
No, unless it's my sister.
Unless it's your sister. So you get a little good acting practice on your sister.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good deal. Okay, and the same thing for you, Eli. You tell me something about Michael. What kind of guy is Michael Banks?
He's mischievous. He's kind to his dad because he wants his dad to notice him.
Oh, nice. Okay, and are you any of those qualities? Do you think you as a person?
Kind.
Are you kind? Yeah, good. Do you have family members to be kind to?
Yes.
Good deal. And so that's our two actors of that playing the two children of Jane and Michael. Thank you, Mia. And Eli for telling us about that. Now let's kind of go back to pulling it all together with Troy Nickerson about putting on a production like this, because there's who else is in the cast and what else is going on in addition to this wonderful family you brought us.
It's a stellar cast from top to bottom. Quincy McCune is playing Mary Poppins, and Jared Gallows is Bert, and then these fine people here fill out the main section of the people, so it's the ensemble is as great as the leads. It's a huge production. It's one of the biggest productions I think I've ever done. So it's been an incredibly busy, exhausting time, but it's fun, and I think the payoff is going to be really sliding into first this weekend, and it's going to be a pretty magical experience, I think, for everybody.
Nice. And that's Civic Theater, which is opening on Friday night and opening Mary Poppins. And the reason I got confused is that then after the opening of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then it moves to a Thursday through Sunday thing with then some Wednesdays that you do.
Do Wednesday benefits. Yeah.
Special benefits for people. But
the regular, yeah. And it is selling well and selling quickly. So grab your tickets.
And it's 5 weekends. So
it's 5 weeks. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So it's a big risk. So as we kind of move out, there's this sense of character development necessary to all theater, and we've alluded a little bit to it, but as we're about to hear Alyssa sing about, kind of defend herself as Mrs. Banks, talk about her journey during this play.
I think, I think Alyssa's, is pretty dutiful and is kind of trapped between wanting to stay in that position. But then, she was a former actress. She's also longing for this other life. She's longing to take care of her children. She's longing to make her husband happy. And I think this song shows a little of all of that, but how much she really is committed to her husband and to her family. This is a beautiful piece. So
back to our studio for Alyssa Day to sing the song Being Mrs. Banks.
George, dear, I know it hurts your pride, dear, but you can't just run and hide, dear. Why can't you see that I'm here, and I am on your side? Whenever you spoke of Miss Andrew, you showered the woman with praise. But now that I've met dear Miss Andrew, there are one or two things I'd rephrase. To think you were raised by that monster and carried that burden through life. If only you had seen that you could share it with your wife. whispers. It's easy to forget the way I felt that summer's day, the day that we first met. Being Mrs. Banks, being kissed by you, a man of dreams that made me feel that wishes could come true.
From our studio, singing Being Mrs. Banks, that was Alyssa Day. And I misspoke. There are two Henrys in this production, not only Patrick McHenry Crutch as Mr. Banks, but Henry McNulty, who is the music director of Spokane Civic Theater, who's kind of in charge of the music. Talk about his role in putting the band together and putting the production together. Well, let him talk about it. So Henry, another production to put together. Talk about the issues. How many people in the pit, give or take?
About 14.
Oh, it's a large.
It's very large. It's very crowded down there.
So you have a lot to organize there.
Gives us a very cinematic sound, though. I think that's the thing I really went for on this.
Yeah, that I can see that would be the sound that you would want. Okay, any unique factors about putting this together musically?
Well, it's interesting the way that that it was written, in that the whole show is meant to be cinematic in a lot of ways. The scene transitions are very fluid. You don't have the way you would in perhaps an older, more traditional show, where you have a clear scene change music, and that's the amount of time it takes, and then you're on to the next song, or you have dialogue breaks in between. With this, it's more of a flow between scenes, and so there's music to fill those moments, but it isn't as clearly set out as it might be in others. So a big part of our process has been trying to balance the length of scene changes and how we actually flow from one place to another.
Truly,
while keeping with the music.
I would say 5 days specifically on doing nothing but transitions in the show,
well,
on working with those things to jive together because of the structure of this show.
Yeah, big production. So that's that opens again. I want to correct myself on that and my misspeak there. It opens on Friday night with a gala opening,
right.
And one can go to can Google Civic Theater and find out about the special gala events. And then it runs all the way through October 14th. And once this weekend is done, then it's categorically a Thursday through Sunday sequence for the following four weekends. So that is Mary Poppins at the Civic Theater. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you, Vern.
Appreciate it.